Thank the Lord, saints. I desire your prayers. The thought today is, unstop your well. And the question is your well stopped today? Is it plugged up? And I don't know, in my mind, I keep on picturing this in the way you unstop a well, but I keep on picturing a big plunger and a well and trying to unstop that well with a plunger. And we're thankful that we have all the tools to unstop our well. They're given to us by aid of the Holy Spirit, by Jesus dwelling within us, by God the Father. I've enjoyed reading again in the book of Genesis. I don't know if it's the sixth or seventh or eighth time that I read it in my lifetime. I started reading the Bible at age 11. I'm 51 years old now. I don't say it to boast, but I try to read the Bible every day and book by book. And reading again through it, I'm in like in the 28th, 29th chapter this time. When I went through chapter 26 again, Genesis 26, verse 14, speaking about Isaac, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Also mentions verse 18, and Isaac digged again the wells which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. I just love what we heard at the beginning of this camp meeting about, we're basically saying that we can again dig the wells of our, we're only going back to the beginning of this group that broke away from the compromise. And when the tent was put up there in 1938, I think you said, brother, the first tabernacle. Yes, amen. And he dug again that well that his father had dug that the Philistines had stopped up. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Verse 21 says, and they digged another well, etc. Verse 22, and he removed from thence and digged another well, etc. I would like to just mention a few things just to lay a foundation here about it was covered with earth. And that was real earth. It was real dirt. And this was a real well. It wasn't spiritual water. But I'd like to speak about the water, the well of water, the springing water that's welling up in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and about things that are earthy. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven, verse 48. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. You know, in Christ Jesus, we're sitting where? In heavenly places with or in Christ Jesus. We think of earthy. There's another verse in Colossians 3:1 that says, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you're really resurrected again to life again, born again, regenerated, all things are passed away, you become a new creature in Christ when you repented, confess your sins, wash in the blood of Christ, the Holy Spirit did a work that's called regeneration. And if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which, if you're really born again, then what are you doing seeking the things of this world? Seek those things which are above. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Earthy. How do we know who's earthy? We just have to look at what they talk about, how they dress, who they're hanging around with, where they're going, what they're spending their time on. And we'll find out, are they're heavenly. Oh, they're heavenly. Oh, no, they're earthy. They're carnal, they're earthy. Though these wells had been stopped up by earth, And the Philistines, which we can say just carnality, the flesh, us, the enemies against us, had for envy stopped it up. You know that in Galatians, Paul told us that the what? Striveth against the what? The flesh striveth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. The Philistines envied that well, those wells that his father, Isaac's father, had dug, and stopped it up with earthy things. You know there's an enemy. We're our own enemies. Think about it. I'm no longer earthy. I have an enemy that wants to stop up my spiritual life with earthy things, carnal things. If you're risen with Christ, don't seek the things of this world. Seek the things above. If you really are, praise the Lord, risen with Christ, you won't want to seek the things of this earth. Oh, you have to use money. You have to go to Walmart. You have to go to Ross Dress for Less, wherever you go shopping, go to thrift stores. You have to do that. But you seek the kingdom of God first, don't you? You pray first. You read first. Then those things are secondary. Taking your shower, gardening, which I love to do. An earthy thing for me could be just spending time gardening. Forget about reading the Bible and praying. I go out there and I see one weed and I see this plant that needs to be trimmed. And I could get lost with gardening. Go to hell because of gardening. There's nothing wrong with gardening. But if you're putting that first, that's earthy. All those plants can be dead tomorrow. A tornado can come through and rip them up. Hail can come and destroy them. You could have a flock of a cloud of locusts come and eat it all up, and it's all gone for nothing. But if we're laying up churches in heaven, rust cannot corrupt. Thieves cannot break through nor steal. We already know these things, saints. Excuse me, I'm getting off here. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. We're laying a foundation for the well and the earth. It says in the gospel according to John 4, we all love and know this story. The woman at the well. And Jesus told her, amen. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. She asked this, she said, this well is deep, and do you have something to get the water out with? And verse 13, and Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst. Verse 14, but whosoever, the thief, the prostitute, the homosexual, the man beater, the woman beater, the thief, whatever you are, whatever you were, but whosoever, the unbeliever, the atheist, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him, in us, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's the Holy Spirit in us. And we can't stop the Holy Spirit, but we can stop our access to the Holy Spirit. Amen? And Isaac digged again. And when he dug again, there was a well of springing water springing up. I'd like to mention a few things that some encountered stopped up in their lives. A few wells. We read of the parable of the prodigal, this well-known parable. Luke 15, verse 25. Luke 15, verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. The prodigal came home. The dad killed the fatted calf, embraced him, kissed him, gave him the shoes, the ring, the clothing, made a feast. There was dancing and music. And now the elder son that had never done anything wrong, never wasted his money with riotous living like the prodigal son did, and he comes home, the supposedly saved, sanctified saint of God. Luke 15, verse 25. Now this elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Oh, they're so happy. Verse 26. They're happy because I'm coming home. Verse 26. And he called one of the servants and said, ask, what do these things mean? Maybe dad's doing me a party. Because he's so happy to see me again. 27. And he saith unto him, thy brother is come. Oh, my brother. My brother? That sinner, that filthy sinner? And he called one of the servants. What does this mean? He said, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. 28. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, not to transgress any of thy commandments. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. 32. It was meet that I should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. This son had never transgressed. He was an obedient child, supposedly. Outwardly, he was conforming to the will of the Father. You know, I love it when I see modesty in the men and the women. I love to see long haired women, uncut hair. I love to see the hair put up in modesty. But you know, you could have all of that. It's right. Don't get me wrong. It's right. 1 Corinthians 11 says it's a glory for a woman to have long hair. It says in Spanish, it's a glory for a woman to let her hair grow. And it says it is a covering for the head. Any woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered, the long hair is given for the covering. It's all right, but you could have all of that. You, sir, brother in Christ, could not be smoking, not gambling, not hanging out with your buddies at the casino. You might live an outwardly clean life, but in your heart, your well of compassion could be stopped up. You know, when people start getting angry with me, I say, okay, are you angry because it's a real thing? Or are you angry because there's something is stopped up there? Amen? Oh, I say, Lord, help me. When we're facing with people and they keep on doing the same error again and again, what is my score? I say, Lord, help me. I don't want if you want to keep on showing compassion to them, Lord, I want it to keep on flowing. I don't want to stop it because I'm fed up with it. I'm tired of it. Oh, Lord, help me, please. Help me, Lord. I see that big plunger coming down. You know, a sink starts getting plugged by hairs little by little. And you start noticing the water goes down slowly in the shower and the sink. If you don't work on it soon, you'll have a major plug up. Amen? You'll have to get that snake and go all the way in there and drain it won't work anymore. Amen? But if you get it when it's just happening with the plunger, you can easily unplug it and all that stuff will come out. Black and, I'm going to describe it, you know what I mean. Smelly stuff. The Lord wants to plunge up, unplug that smelly stuff in you. Anger, jealousy, lack of mercy, lack of love. Oh, that brother left and he did this to my mother and he did that to my sister. And how could you accept him back again? Oh, have the Philistines plugged up your well of compassion? Have the Philistines plugged up your well of mercy? Oh, I don't want mine. I say, Lord, start unplugging, Lord. It's going to be smelly. It's going to be ugly and messy, but do it, Lord. Bring the tears. Bring whatever. I don't want to not show mercy if you want me to show mercy, Lord. I don't feel they deserve it, but if you want me to do it, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it again. He needed a major plumber to come and do some plumbing work there. The prodigal, not the prodigal son, the one that had never broken any of the commandments. We don't want for the world to look at us and go, oh, they're so stuck up and so self-righteous. They won't even say hello to me at Walmart. I'm one of the saints. I don't talk to trash. Oh, no. I say hello to everybody. Hi, how are you doing? And tattooed and earrings and everything. You know, one time, I've told this before, we were at a Walmart. And I had very little money as a missionary. And I was buying a Thanksgiving meal for the saints in Juarez, Mexico. And I had $20 and I was trying to keep to the budget, $20. And behind me were these big dudes, guys with tattoos and long hair and colors different. And I looked behind me and I kept, and they were cursing behind me. And I thought, you know, they only have one thing and I have all these things. So you can go ahead, come ahead. They go, us? They go, yeah, go ahead, come in front of me, go ahead. They went in front of me, and I greeted them nicely. And he turned around and says, you know what, include his things. And I said, oh, no, it's okay. He goes, no, you showed me a little kindness. I want to show you appreciation. He paid for it all. I said, I should have gotten $50 worth. But anyway, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord that the Lord wants our compassion and our mercy to be unstopped. May we pray, Lord, unplug it. Let it flow freely, even as you let it flow from you. Amen. May the Lord help us. Oh, may the Lord, you know, self-righteousness, not, there's a true righteousness, and I have it. Woo, the righteousness of Christ. But there's a self-righteousness that stinks. It gets angry at others. It's hard. And don't get me wrong, there's times when God will be rough, and his wrath will come out. But if God isn't doing it, and you're doing it, you're wrong. Amen? Oh, have the Philistines stopped your well of compassion, your well of mercy? He cannot stop it today. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Getting back to the woman at the well. She had a natural well, and she had a pot, a jug, and she left it behind when Jesus, she found out that was Messiah, went out. But her spiritual well had been stopped up, her well of salvation, by her forefathers. She said, my fathers say that it is here in Jerusalem where we ought to worship in this mountain, and y'all say that in Jerusalem. Jesus told her that you say well that you don't have a husband. First, we're in John 4:18. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. She had had five men living with her, and the one that lived with her now was not her husband. She was living in adultery for sure, and fornication maybe, both. That person that she was with might have never been married either. Sin and tradition from the past can stop up our well of salvation. You can say, I know people in Mexico that say, "Oh, I don't want to hear. I'm a Catholic." I said, "Well, I'm not going to speak about Catholicism. I want to tell you about Jesus." "Oh, yeah, I know about him." And they want to stop it, but I keep on, no. Let me just tell you more about him then, since you know some, I'll tell you some more about him, I say. And I keep at it, you know. Their tradition has stopped their way to salvation. Stopped it, plugged it up. Don't let what you've been taught by your mama, papa, even among the saints, their unfaithfulness, the things that they did that were not right, don't let that stop you from going 100% with the Lord. Maybe your parents didn't, but you can. You don't have to be a 80% saint. You can be a 100% saint. It doesn't matter if your grandma and mama aren't. You can be one of those faithful saints. Oh, may the Lord unplug us of that tradition that we learned from our parents is wrong. And may it unplug us of the sin that puts a barrier between us and our salvation. That day she was unplugged and she went rejoicing and started preaching to everybody, and many believed because of her. There's one of the first women preachers, apart from those that announced the resurrection of Christ. Here's another woman preacher. She went and told us about Christ, and they came and they were saved because she preached to them. Woo! Praise the Lord. We believe in women preachers that are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Getting back to Genesis 29, verse 18. I love these verses. Every time I read them, I just love to meditate on it. Genesis 29, verse 18. Jacob and Rachel. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Amen. He was serving Laban 7 years for Rachel. We all know that the devil sometimes does a bait and switch. He baits us with something. He switches it out with sorrow and sadness and regret that we did it. Amen. Oh, but he baits it with something beautiful. Later on, you end up with gonorrhea, syphilis, and AIDS. Oh, but it looked beautiful at the time. But later on, the illness does not look so beautiful, does it? Who says amen? Amen. liver problems, kidney problems. Oh, that beer and that partying looked great, but now, oh, my kidney and my liver is ruined. Oh, it looked so wonderful, but it was a bait, and then he switched it for disease of the liver and of the kidneys, and you're dying because you didn't want to give up alcohol. Amen? Bait and switch. Well, Laban said, oh yeah, you can have Rachel. Amen? But he stuck in Leah in the night. And he woke up and it wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. He had worked 7 years for this beautiful woman that he had fallen in love with. How long are you willing to live for Jesus? How long are you willing to go to every service? Or is it already getting boring? You'd rather skip it and plan something else. Do you really love Jesus? I love him. Are you willing to go when it's snowing, sleeting, you're tired? You're feeling discouraged, burdens and problems? It doesn't tell us that he stopped any time of those and gave up and then started up again. 7 years consecutively, constantly, faithfully worked for Rachel. It doesn't end there. We know the story. Later on, he says, it's the custom to give the older first and then the younger. And then it says again in verse 30, and he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. 14 years for a woman. She was worth it, wasn't she? In our case, spiritually speaking, we are the woman. We're the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. Are we willing to work for him? To obtain being with him in intimacy throughout the ages of eternity? To go into his tent on that day and to be with him intimate throughout the ages of eternity? What will that be like? It'll be greater than any ecstasy that you can experience here on earth. Amen? You know, the enemy would like to plug up our love for Jesus with a substitute love. You know, I had a substitute love. It was called television. And maybe today you might not have that big, they're flat now, that big thing on your wall, but you have your cell phone. You have your tablet. I understand you can now get television on those things. If not, you can get download movies that you can watch on television and at the cinema. Oh, but you remain with the testimony. I don't go to movies and I don't have a television. But you know, we're not preaching against that square thing. We're preaching against what comes out of that thing. And what comes out of the thing, the television, is the same thing that'll come out of your videos at home. And you know, nobody might ever see. You know, I was hearing on the radio, a Christian station, they've done these surveys on kids, and they're really having problems with kids in the Christian world spending too much time on their cell phone. I've got one, and I text, and I use it, but it stays in its place. And when it tries to creep out of there and grab me, I push it all the way. I say, you're staying down where you belong. Amen? Reading the Bible first, praying first, service first, not they're texting in the meeting. And do you really, if you were in a candlelight dinner with Jesus, would you be texting? Come on, you would not. You'd be going, oh, Jesus, what beautiful eyes. Oh, you'd probably faint in his presence because he's so gorgeous. His glory is so beautiful. You'd throw everything out of the way. Anybody talk to you? Talk to you later. Oh, Jesus, you are so beautiful. Your voice is so, I've never heard of, your voice makes me shiver. Oh, tremble. You are just gorgeous, Jesus. Oh, but we come to meeting, the same old thing. No. Oh, we come here to have a candlelight dinner with Jesus. We're on a cruise trip right now with Jesus. Are you leaving him out on the balcony? You're right here with somebody else? Oh, we're on a cruise trip with Jesus. It's called camp meeting. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't let the devil come and fill it up with fleshly stuff. Fleshy stuff. May the Lord help us. Consecrate your telephone. Sanctify it. Say, Lord, I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to do it again. I don't want to be earthy. I don't want my world to be stopped up little by little by my flesh that envies that I'm rejoicing in Christ. The flesh doesn't want to see me happy. It wants to see me over here sad and discontented and regretting what I've done. Amen? I'm thankful that there's a great plumber. His name is Jesus. You call him and he'll come unplug that problem. He's better than Drano. He'll unplug you right away. I'm thankful for the times he has unstopped my well, my spiritual well of the Holy Spirit springing up in my soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Luke 6. Hallelujah. Luke 6, verse 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. You know, there's an enemy that would like to stop up our well of rejoicing in the Lord, of praise. Have you ever noticed when you have a little conflict with somebody, it kind of like, you don't feel like rejoicing so much, and you can hardly pray, and much less praise God. It happens to me. I say, oh Lord, help me to deal with this right now. It's a conflict with my wife, I want to deal with it right now. It's a conflict with a brother, I want to deal with it right now. Because it's stopping up that joy of the Lord springing up in my soul. May the Lord help us. He can give us the tools to do our part in unstopping, in unplugging. He'll give us that big plunger. Everything will come out at once. We're thankful the camp meeting is like that big plunger, huh? If we let it be. Amen? It might take several camp meetings, several plungers. Get it all out. One thing that can start to plug up our joy and our rejoicing, because it says, leap for joy. Why did he say that? Because that's what you don't want to do. You do not want to leap for joy when they have gossiped about you. You do not want to leap for joy and rejoice when somebody has said something negative to you. If you're not in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, it'll roll off like water on a duck's back. Because if you know who you are in Christ, it doesn't matter what insult they give you. They can't take away what Jesus has said about you. That you're his altogether lovely one. You're his spotless one. You're without wrinkle. You're precious. You're beloved. You're his co-heir and joint heir. But if you don't really believe that, you're going to let one little word control you. And you're going to be like a little puppy. Saints, don't let the devil stop up, plug up your joy. Amen. Saints, we should be rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. Don't let the cares of life, don't let gossip, rumors, insults, criticism stop up your joy. If we're walking in the flesh, it will do it. If we're walking in the Spirit, we'll forgive instantly and even laugh about it. That's true, huh? Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's not be so serious, saints. Let's laugh about it. Really, that's true. If we're not careful, we can allow gossip to stop up our well of joy. It tells us in Proverbs 26, verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Verse 22. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Where there's gossip, it's like wood adding to the fire. It burns stronger. There also, a talebearer is like a person, it's like a wound in you. It wounds you. It hurts you. But you know, that's why when the Pope comes into town, he's got the shield all around him. The president too, bodyguards. Do you have that? Those angels camping around you? Do you have the Holy Spirit shielding you and blocking you from insult and hate and rumors? Jesus said they were going to hate us. If they hated him, they were going to hate us. I maybe told a story. I don't know where. Maybe among the saints, maybe not. There was a certain saint woman from the church that we left that was raised a young saint, and then she got worthy and went to the world, became an elderly woman, came back finally to camp, to our convention camp meeting. At that convention camp meeting, she yielded her heart to the Lord. She came with her short permed hair, dyed jewelry and pants. But anyway, when she went to work after that camp meeting, she went with the only skirt she had. She put it on. She pinned up her little few strands that she had of hair. She took off the makeup and the jewelry. And she was the receptionist at this corporation. And the people that worked with her looked at her and go, "Oh, you got up late today, didn't you?" "No, I didn't." "Oh, okay. And are you feeling okay today?" "I'm feeling wonderful," she said. "I couldn't be better." And then after the day went by, she kept doing her job. But finally the boss came and said, can I call you into my office, please?" He goes, "You know, we believe in keeping up our image here. And, you know, when I hired you, we talked about image and all that." And she said, "Yes. But you asked me if I could file, if I could do, you know, bookkeeping and accounting, if I was personable. And has that changed?" "Oh, no, not at all." Says, "I don't remember you saying anything about makeup, jewelry, or pants." She said, "No, I didn't." And so she said, well, thank you for the visit. I appreciate it. I'm going to go back to the front desk," she said. And that day it came to her. "World, persecute me." Because she thought about that verse. "For great is your reward in heaven." Don't look at persecution as something that's going to hurt you. It's going to heap up more reward for you in heaven. Don't you believe what the Bible says? When they speak evil against you, persecute you, rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. If you take it the right way, if you go back and punch them, pull out the hair, you have no reward in heaven. But if you take it with the right spirit, there's reward in heaven. And it'll change the situation between you and that person. It'll do it, I guarantee it. So brother and sister, Jesus said, leap for joy. Amen. You know, I've enjoyed reading, as Sister Marshall was talking about, D.S. Warner. I had never read this before. One of the sisters here loaned it to me. It was out of printing. The Life and Labors of D.S. Warner, I think it's called. It gives his diary, what he was thinking about before, when he was in the false church, Weinbrenner, and then left that. And then God started giving more light. And you know what he did, honestly, often? He leaped for joy and rejoiced. One time it says that he leaped up in the air and made a turn and landed up facing the people like that. He spoke about people being baptized and coming out of the water, leaping and shouting. Did they practice it and get to? No, they didn't. They were so happy that those words of Christ were fulfilled in them. They were leaping for joy. So if you wonder why Brother Tony leaps for joy, it's not because I met Brother Warner, nor because I met Brother, the one that left here, Danny Lane. No, I was leaping and shouting after I left the church where I couldn't even move. I couldn't say amen or praise the Lord. We had to sit still like this. I've been thinking about it and I'd like to learn better too and do better. That was our testimonies. Woo! But when I got set from that, when there were times I wanted to rejoice in that meeting and I couldn't. I never even lifted up a hand. I never said hallelujah. People would give me CDs that said hallelujah. Friends at work, and I'd break them and throw them away. "That's of the devil," I said. "They're saying hallelujah." I was that brainwashed. That brainwashed. I couldn't say praise the Lord because it was religious. And here now I just find out what D.S. Warner was doing. Exactly what I'm doing. Because he had the same Holy Spirit that I do. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you were to win the lottery, which I know nobody will hear because you're not entering it. But you wouldn't go, "Oh, it's so wonderful." You go, "I can't believe I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich." Wouldn't you do that? You won more than the lottery, brothers and sisters. It's an eternal lottery. It's priceless. It's measureless. It's through the edges of eternity. Woo! Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. Don't let gossip and rumors, "I'm not coming back among the saints anymore." Don't let it do that to you. You're letting the devil have you as a little puppet. Cut those strings and you rejoice. Woo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen? You don't just have to jump outside. Jump in your heart too. Rejoice in your heart. And then you'll be rejoicing that word outside too. Amen? Thank the Lord. Don't let gossip, rumors, persecution stop up your joy and rejoicing and praises to the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. I'd like to change gears a little bit here. D.S. Warner unstopped a lot of the doctrine that had been stopped up by creeds, Babylon, teachings of man. One of them, somebody had unstopped partially the doctrine of the second work of grace, sanctification. And you know, I was surprised, I was shocked that D.S. Warner, he wasn't sanctified the first time he put in for it. It took several times. He was even embarrassed to go to the altar because he was talking with people that were sanctified, and here he was preaching them and he wasn't even sanctified. But what I want to say is that he unstopped it completely for us. The doctrine, so we could say clearly. You know, in the church that I belonged to, I believed in sanctification, but it was a gradual work. I didn't know anything about second work or purifying the Holy Spirit down in the heart and taking out carnality and that we inherited from Adam and Eve, carnality. And I didn't know any of that, not in the way that I know it now. I'm thankful for those reformers that unstopped and unplugged the doctrine of healing. Many were still teaching it, but not in its clarity and entirety as D.S. Warner and company brought it out. Christian perfection was brought out in its clarity and entirety through D.S. Warner. The oneness and the unity of God's people, the church of God, was brought out in its entire, unplugged completely by D.S. Warner and company. Coming out of sectism and not being divided in this little group here, Methodist here, Catholic here, and Mormon over there. Sects divide and separate God's people, D.S. Warner and company taught. That's what we're here together. We believe in one body, one church, one faith, one baptism, one Holy Spirit, one God the Father, amen, one Savior, one doctrine, one faith, one belief. Just like to focus a little bit on that second work of grace quickly. Some thoughts that helped me in the beginning. We're almost going to end here. Second epistle of Paul, the apostle, to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 15. And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit. I had read this all my life, but I had never thought of it. I thought of it like him coming and visiting him again and preaching again to them and encouraging them again. But the thought here, it's implying another work, a second benefit, a second application of the blood of Christ, an infilling of the Holy Spirit, that ye might have a second benefit. That's why it's called now, or they called it, they termed it, second work of grace. Because there's no other place that's called second in that way, except for right there. Colossians. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Look at that word, holy, completely. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy means entirely. If a cake is totally baked, can you bake it some more? You'll burn it. that's not a good example. If this tabernacle is already built, are we going to tear it down and rebuild it again? No, it's built already. Holy sanctified. I taught a gradual sanctification. I could die and only be half sanctified, and I would be sanctified on my way to heaven, supposedly, I thought. Or when Jesus comes back and takes us. But the Bible speaks of a sanctification, a whole sanctifying right now. Being fully, completely perfected right now. That means complete. A perfected love, a perfect praise, a perfect obedience, a perfect peace, a perfect patience. It speaks about that in the Bible. Perfect men and women in the Bible. Noah was perfect. Job was perfect in the Old Testament. David served the Lord with a perfect heart. And then it speaks about those that were sanctified and perfect in the New Testament. We all know this, but I was just thinking about this, that I'm thankful that there was somebody that came along and unplugged this for us, unstopped it, so we could have it in all its entirety. But you know that the devil might be plugging it for some of you individually right now, that you might not be studying that doctrine, and therefore you don't understand it, and you're not really seeking for it, You're settling for nobody's perfect, as we hear. And I'm a sinner saved by grace, as we hear. Instead of really rejoicing in that you are fully, that you have full victory in Christ. Oh, I want the devil to unstop. I want the Lord to unstop this for those of you that might not get it. This isn't going to do it. This teaching isn't going to do it. But I want you to go and study it for yourself. Don't just listen to what the preacher's preaching about. You go and study it for yourself and get it for yourself and understand it for yourself as the Lord did for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. We all know the story. Another thing that helped me. I used to teach, and when I read the tracts of the faith publishing and I heard that you don't get the Holy Spirit the moment you're saved, I said, I'm not going to come to these meetings anymore. This church is false. That was 13 years ago, 14 years ago. When a brother from Vichy Campground wrote to Faith Publishing and they sent me a whole bunch of books and stuff. One of them was on the second work of grace. And that we don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us when we are saved. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is with you and he shall be in you. That's in the book of John, the Gospel of John. That helped me. The Holy Spirit is with you, the 12. And later on in the upper room, he shall be in you. When we are saved, yes, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. He can be with you, working with you, and in your heart. When you're a sinner, he does. That's the only way to do it. But he abides with you continually when you're saved. But when you're sanctified, he abides in you. We have this teaching of Paul. And we're going to finish with this. Acts 9. We know Paul the apostle. It was Saul. The Pharisee that was on the way to Damascus to persecute the church. Jesus appeared a great light. He fell down. He said, Lord, who art thou? He said, I am Christ. And he said, what wilt thou have me to do right there? He was admitting that he needed help. And he was saying, save me, help me. I believe right then he was saved. How do we know that? When Ananias was sent to him, it says in Acts 9, verse 9, it says, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. I want to keep, for you, keep that in mind. 3 days he was saved. Because 3 days he was blind. And 3 days he was without the Holy Spirit in his heart, but yet he was Brother Saul. Brother Paul. Acts 9, 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled. Look, he did not have the Holy Spirit in him yet and be filled. He had the Holy Spirit with him. But he had not yet been filled, like this glass being filled. He had not been filled yet with the Holy Spirit. He placed his hands on him. 3 days had passed from the time of his sanctification, regeneration, or his salvation. And yet he did not have the Holy Spirit in him abiding as a continual comforter. When I saw this, I went, whoa. I had read this from age 11. That's why it's important for us to teach doctrine. I read it in books. And I understood little by little, gradually, the doctrine of the Church of God. So now you don't have to be afraid I'm going to teach you something false because I'm going to tell you who wrote it and where I'm finding it. I could be a little off, so please pray for me if I am and help me on that point if I am. D.S. Warner was a little off in the beginning too, and he gradually changed and changed and changed and changed, and then God took him. We're all that way, and we should be going from glory to glory. Amen? It says in Acts 9, 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. I think we might have a problem with that, saints. Somebody comes among us. Amen. They're saved. They're sanctified. Are we going to let them start preaching right away? Let's examine ourselves, saints. Paul started preaching right away. Yeah, for 3 years he went away. There was a little bit of doubt, but later on they gave him the right hand of fellowship. But he started preaching right away. 3 years later, was given the right hand of fellowship. Let us examine ourselves, saints. Are we holding the line too tight for new people among us when they've proven every point that they're right? Oh, I'm so thankful that Dis Warner and Company unplugged the doctrine of sanctification for us. And then that there were those other brethren that Brother Michael spoke about, his grandfather and great-grandfather, and others that retaught that doctrine, and I read it in God's Gracious Dealings again over and over. F.G. Smith, all the teachings, wonderful teachings of different brothers and sisters, and the Lord wants to unstop, is there a point in doctrine that you have a problem with? He wants to unstop it. He wants to unplug where the devil has plugged up your love. Where the devil has plugged up, I want to finish with one more, forgiveness. Jesus said, unless you forgive your brother, your sister, your enemy, even as I have forgiven you, neither shall your Father in heaven forgive you. That's paraphrased. There was once a certain woman that went. She worked in a certain place, and there was a community room where they ate their lunch, a break room. She went up, and she always would eat a Kit Kat and drink a soda. And she sat down. She went up there to the office, sat down, as usual. She kneeled down into her purse to take something out. When she got up, her Kit Kat was not there. But there was a man sitting across, and he had her Kit Kat, a little chocolate bar, in her mouth and was eating it. She was aghast. She was going, how dare he get my Kit Kat like that? She said, well, I'm going to forgive him. But the more she thought about it, the angrier she got. So she went up there. She was leaving. She went up there. He had a donut in his mouth. He was eating it. He put it down. She went and got his donut, stuffed it in her mouth, and said, how do you like that? And she walked out and went downstairs. For some reason, she looked through her purse again, and there was her Kit Kat. Sometimes the offenses can be imaginary. Sometimes somebody could look around, have gas, make a wrong face to you, and you think that they're making that little signal of hatred towards me again. And it was just a natural thing that they were doing. Oh, sometimes offenses are imaginary. Do not allow the devil to stop up, to plug up your forgiveness. Forgive. May the Lord help us. Praise the Lord.